tuned in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church, President of Celebration Marketplace Ministries, and author of Make Life Work in a Fast-Paced World. And here's Pastor Beckford.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Make your day count. This is the day
the Lord has made.
And we will
rejoice
and be glad
in what God is doing. I am rejoicing. And not in what I'm doing. I'm rejoicing in what God is doing. Because we need to join forces with God. We need to find out what God is doing and then join what God is doing. And then you can live the day to the full. And then you can make your day count because you're doing the will and plans and purposes of God.
In Genesis chapter 13, starting at verse 16, Abram, he knew the new road. He was shown the new road that was right for him in this time. All this week, we're talking about a new road, a new year, and we must know, believe, and take. Know it, believe it, and take it.
That road.
Take that road.
Take that road.
One road can't get you everywhere that you need to go.
Come on.
So we must exit the road of comfort. We must exit that road and get onto another road, the right road for this time, for this year, in order to arise and build. Genesis chapter 13, verse 16 and 17, and I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered. Arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I give it to you. Arise, walk in the land. Get familiar with it.
Take the road. Walk it in.
Its length and its width. I give it to you. He said, I give it
to you.
Arise, walk in the land. Become familiar with it. Become excellent in it. Begin to know it.
Yeah.
Believe it. Take it.
Maximize it.
I give it to you. Maximize it.
But Dan, look, listen. When God speaks to us like that, we still sit down, waiting. I wish it and I hope it. When God says, I've given it to you. Why are you sitting there? Why are you still struggling? And the road of hopelessness and the road of discouragement, why are you on that road? I have given it. Get off that road. Walk in it. It has everything for you. Like I said, one of our biggest obstacles is us. One of the biggest obstacles that we're going to face is ourselves. It's not anybody else. It's not anybody opposing us. It's we opposing ourselves. I'm not good enough. I don't think I'm able. You remember the spies? They went to the land. They spied out. They saw all the grapes. The land is great. They even take some.
Brought it back.
Oh, God. They even bring back the evidence, Diane. Can you imagine it? They went there, they see it, and they bring the evidence back, but they didn't believe they were good enough. They says, okay, but we see the opposition. That was the thing. We see the what? The opposition. There are giants in the land. Now, they're great in the land. They're wealth in the land. They're everything that you need. God gave you the land. But you see what? Giants there. And instead of concentrating on the grapes and all the good stuff, they were concentrating on the giants. And the more they think about the giants, is the smaller they come. They become. Because it says, look, the giants are there and we are grasshopper in our eyes.
That's Numbers chapter 13, verse 33. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight.
This is such a powerful truth here, revelation. Watch this. How you see yourself is how you see others sees you. Wait. Let me say it right. How you see yourself is the way you think others sees you. That's it. How you see yourself is the way you think others sees you. Let's get the proof again. Let's get the proof. Read it one more time, Diane.
There we saw the giants.
Yeah.
The descendants of Anak came from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight.
So that's
and
where it is.
So we were in their sight.
So here's my point. How you see yourself is the way you will believe others sees you. Go ahead.
They saw themselves in their own sight.
Yeah.
They were as grasshoppers.
So therefore, the giants also see them
as grasshoppers. So they felt that's how it was.
But that was a reality.
Mm-hmm.
Because Caleb and Joshua didn't see themselves like grasshopper now.
Mm-hmm. So when they were coming back and they were making the PowerPoint presentation of everything they experienced in Numbers chapter 14, verse 7, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land.
Facts.
If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey.
Yes.
Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread.
Yes.
Their protection has departed from them. And the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me? How long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them?" So the people were rising up. They were going with what they saw. They saw themselves as grasshoppers. Caleb and Joshua, they had a different spirit in them. And they were declaring, no, the people's protection has left them.
God is with us. Yeah, God,
we're going to move forth. We're well able to overcome any opposition. But the people were like, no, they didn't see themselves as able to do so.
So how you see yourself is the way you think everybody sees you. How you see yourself is the way you think everybody sees you. That's the reality was this. Here's the reality. They were what? Well able to possess the land because God has given them the land. But whatever God give you and I, it is surrounded by giants. And I says it so many times. Every promise, every man's promised land is surrounded by giants. And because it is surrounded by giants, we don't take it. We are afraid of the giants. We don't see what God has given unto us. We see the what? The giant, the opposition. So we gotta see it. We gotta see what God has given you and know that you are graced for it. That's why we talk in Psalms 84. You have the grace of God. Psalms 84, verse 11 says, God has given you grace and glory, and no good thing will he withheld from you because you're now walking all uprightly. So you got it. So take it.
And we have to realize that when we are rejecting God's plan, we're rejecting him.
Yeah.
Because that's what he said clearly in Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long will these people reject me?"
Yes.
They were rejecting the plan. So in them rejecting the plan that God had for them, they were rejecting God.
Yeah.
So when we reject the plan, that's why we have to fear God. We have to fear God more than we fear man.
Yes.
And we fear any circumstance. "How long will they not believe me?" the Lord said, "with all the signs which I have performed among them." So if we all go into a time of remembrance, God has performed many signs in our life. But we get to places of familiarity where we become familiar with something, and then we reject his move to put us into the next phase or the next season, the new road of the new year, because we've come familiar. When we cross-reference that with Deuteronomy chapter 2, or excuse me, Genesis chapter 13, verse 17, he said to arise and walk it. We had to become familiar with something else.
Yes.
We weren't good at, the things we're good at now, we weren't good at when we first tried them. We're more proficient in them now. We had to become familiar with them. So we can't be fearful to become familiar with something that is new, to fully maximize the new thing that God is doing in this time. Because the things that we're comfortable with now weren't always comfortable. We had to get used to them. You know, even big blessings, like, you know, people think the cars and the houses are the big blessings. When you move into a new house, you have to get familiar with that new house. When you start driving a new car, you have to get familiar with that new car. So when there's a we have to become familiar with the new things that God is doing, and then we have to maximize those things. So when we're rejecting the plan or the move of God, we're rejecting him. And we can't do that.
God has given us everything that is pertain to life and godliness. God has given you and I everything that we need that pertain to what? Life and godliness. Not only godliness, but life. This life. So I have, you and I have everything that we need to live a upright life, a life of uprightness, a life of good standing. We got everything that we need to live a life of good standing, and we got everything that we need to prosper in this life, because God is not one-sided. He's complete, and we always teach us here that God is in his totality. He doesn't go off way. With God, everything is complete. When God comes into your life, he comes to what? Complete it. He just don't heal you and leave you in poverty. No way. He healed you. He take you out of poverty. And he does not healed you, take you out of poverty, but he take you out of sin. All of that comes with God. He do a complete work. A complete work. That's why I love him, Dad. Because he do a complete work. With God, everything is in its totality, not partial. We don't serve a God who work partially. We serve a God who, when he comes to do it a thorough job. Mm-hmm. That's why I said he'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's going to stay with you until you get it.
We have to maximize the totality of this salvation package that we have. When we confess with our mouth and we believed in our heart this salvation packet, there is a totality of it that we have to maximize. In Luke chapter 15, verses 29 through 31, so he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that I have is yours. So we can't be like that son. We're going to get into that point tomorrow. We have to maximize the salvation package that we received the day that we confessed the Lord Jesus with our mouth and believed in our heart. We want to invite you to Celebration Tabernacle Church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., 1010 Dixon Boulevard.
Thank you for tuning in to the Make Your Day Count broadcast with Pastor Errol Beckford, Senior Pastor of Celebration Tabernacle Church in the beautiful city of Cocoa. For more information on this broadcast, please contact us at 321-638-0381. Tune in tomorrow to hear more about how you can make your day count.